The Bible said in Luke chapter 2, I was thinking as Sister Danita was singing, and all that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. You'd have to wonder what God revealed unto her. Amen. I appreciate you being here today. Take your Bibles and turn with me, please, to the book of Matthew, Matthew's Gospel. I went to sleep last night with this passage of Scripture on my heart. I woke up this morning with it on my heart. And actually, the Lord gave me the message, and then I guess I was on my way to church when the Lord gave me the title for the message. In Matthew chapter 2, the Bible said in verse 1, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him." That's a powerful statement. "And when he had gathered all," there's the word "all" again, "all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. They said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, Thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor, and shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. When they had departed, when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star, which they saw in the east, went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. When they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. When they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. When they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word. For Herod shall seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt have I called my son." Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning for the word of the living God. And God, I pray this morning that as we look into this scripture, that you'll speak to our hearts. Father, I pray that, Lord, that you'll just keep your hand upon our church, keep your hand upon each ministry and each facet, Lord, of the ministry here. And God, we pray this morning that you'd speak to hearts. Speak to the hearts of the saints. Speak to the heart, Father, of the sinner. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you're still saving to the uttermost those who will come unto God by our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we pray now, have your way. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I'd like to title the message this morning, if I could, Wise Men Then and Wise Men Now. Or you could turn it around, Wise Men Now and wise men then. I want to make application out of this scripture this morning and look at some things that I believe will be a blessing and be a help to us. My heart is a little bit saddened by what I've seen just over the last few days. I mean, what used to be Black Friday is now being backed up into Thursday. And I don't know about you, but I believe it's blackened the Thursday. And I want to look at the scripture this morning. I mean, this is not maybe just a what you would call a traditional Christmas message, but I want to look at what's in the heart of these wise men and talk to you about them for just a little while this morning. And I pray that God will bless it and use it. First of all, I looked up, it worried me a little bit when I looked up wise men in the Greek, and it began to talk about soothsayers and astrologers, and it began to talk about astronomers and things of that nature. And most of the time, it's used in a negative context. But you can see in the Word of God, I said, Lord, there's something going on here, because I don't see anything negative about what's going on in these men's lives. Amen. And it comes from a word, and I can't even pronounce it. We get that word magi from it. That's in our King James Bible. In my Scofield Bible, that's the title, The Visit of the Magi. But it's where we also get the word, traditional word, magician. But these were so much more than that. I just want to read what I was able to find, and I'll get on the right page with me. The persons here denoted were philosophers. They were priests and astronomers. They dwelt chiefly in Persian Arabia. They were learned men of the Eastern nations. They were devoted to astronomy, to religion, and to medicine. They were held in high esteem by the Persian court, and they were admitted into that court as counselors, and they followed the camps in war to give advice. So we need to understand that truly, these were not just a bunch of flakes and a bunch of musicians, amen, but these were some men who were seeking after God. And God had revealed something to them in this star, amen, and they were going to follow this star. It's evident that they believed the Old Testament promise that God was going to provide a Savior, that God was going to provide a shepherd, that God was going to provide the Savior of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Just like Isaiah had said. There are some things that we know here that these men knew. First of all, I'm glad we know. Look in chapter 2, verse 1. The Bible said, now when Jesus was born. How many's glad we know when Jesus was born? Amen. You say, preacher, is December the 25th the very day? I kindly doubt it. Amen. But I tell you what, I'm not against setting aside a day. Amen. I thank the Lord. If I didn't know the day I was born on, I'd tell my wife to set one aside and we'll celebrate. Amen. I know I was born. I know He was born. Amen. And praise the Lord, we can know when Jesus was born. But now notice this. Not only do we know when Jesus was born, but we know, thank God, how Jesus was born. Back up into chapter 1 and let me show you something here. This is fundamental. You say, preacher, I don't understand what you mean. I'm saying this. If you don't believe this, you can't be saved. Amen. It's a cardinal doctrine of the Word of God. The Bible said in verse 18, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as His mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, He was found with child. Notice these words, of the Holy Ghost. We not only know when Jesus was born, but thank God the wise men now know how Jesus was born. He was born of a virgin. Amen. My friend, listen, if Jesus was born like you and I, then He too would need a Savior. Amen. He would have that sin nature just like that you and I have that we inherited from Adam. The Bible said here, Joseph was a just man. Not willing. Listen, a lot is said about Mary, and I'm not against that.
But can you understand the predicament that this man was put in? I mean, to tell you, here's a man that loves this young lady. I believe it's evident she had found favor with God. And I believe everybody knew that she was a virtuous woman. Can you imagine the news that comes and when Joseph finds out that she's with child and Joseph knows that they've never been together? Can you imagine the predicament that put him in? But thank God we have a Savior, my friend, that will address our predicament. Say amen. And the Bible said here, Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, he was minded to put her away. He's going to do it quietly. He's going to say, hey, this ain't right. You know it ain't right. I know it ain't right. And God knows it ain't right. And he's going to put her away. He's not going to marry her now. He's a spouse to her, but he's going to put her away. That's his plan. But notice this. While he thought on these things, how many knows our Lord's right on time? Amen. While it's going through his mind, here comes the Lord and says, Joseph, it's all right, honey. I know you don't understand right now, but thank God that's in her. It's born of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And conceived a miraculous conception. The angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. I'll say more about this later. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet. I'm telling you, it was all going to be fulfilled just exactly like God said it would. Amen. He said, preacher, I don't understand the importance of this. Listen, wise men, they know when he was born. But wise men also know how he was born. Amen. He was born of a virgin. But let me give you this, and this is probably the most important thing in this little introduction right here. Wise men know why he was born. They not only know when he was born, and we know where he was born, and we know how he was born, but thank God we can know why he was born. Listen to what the Word of God said in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. The Bible said, he shall save his people from their sin. Why is he born? He's born because God said it would be this way. It would be fulfilled. He's born to take away our sin. A virgin shall be with child. They'll bring forth a son. Call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and called his name Jesus. He said, preacher, I don't understand what you're getting at here. Listen, why was Jesus born? Listen to what the Word of God said in John chapter 12, verse 27. He said, for this cause came I unto this hour. In John chapter number 18 and verse 37, Jesus said, to this end was I born. For this cause came I into the world. I want you to know, listen, it's more than just the title of a song. The Son of God was born to die that you and I might live. That's why he was born, to give his life on an old rugged cross. My friend, I believe with all of my heart, wise men, they still understand where he was born, how he was born, and why he was born into this world. Amen. Thank God he was born so that you and I could live. He was born to give his life. How did they know? How did they know? You say, preacher, I don't understand. Look at verse 2, chapter 2, verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, notice what the Bible said here. Behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. Stay with me just a few minutes this morning. Let me give you something here as God spoke to my heart. How did they know? They followed the light that God had provided for them. I want you to know the Bible said the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament showeth His handiwork. I want you to know this morning, I'm not worried about folk that are following the light that God gives them. Say amen. I believe when folk are acting on all the light that they have, God will give them more light. But if you ever get to a place that you reject the light that God's given you, you're in trouble. Amen. You're going backwards. You're going away from the Son of God. And here they are. Right now, all they have is a star. They have a light in the sky, and they're following that light, and they come to this place where Herod is. And Herod asks, notice here, he's asking these, watch what the Bible said, the scribes and the priests in verse number 4. He demanded of them where Christ should be born. They said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet. Herod turns around and sends them on to Bethlehem. He said, that's where he's going to be born. Now go and tell me when you find him. Amen. Notice the light here. I believe they followed the light that God had provided. Today, we may know. We don't know that the light, we don't know the Savior through the light of the star, but we know the Savior through the light of the Scripture. He said, preacher, what do you mean? The Bible said faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. What do you mean today, preacher? Listen to what the Bible said. The entrance of thy word giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The Bible said, but the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more into the perfect day. He said in 2 Peter chapter 1, we also have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. I'm glad, thank God, this light right here one day shined in a dark place and led me to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. God has provided the light. There's no excuse this morning to walk in darkness. There's no excuse this morning to go through another Christmas without Christ. There's no excuse. There's the light. The light of the Scripture, the light of the saints. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. By the way, may God help us here at Bible Way. May God help us to never be in one of those brawls down there at the market. Say amen. May God help us to let our light shine. If we reach up there and get something and somebody else wants it, turn around and give it to them. Amen. You say, preacher, I don't understand that. I tell you, this world's in a mess. And the only light some of them are going to see, they're not going to read their Bible. They're going to see it in the saints of God this Christmas season. Help us, Lord, not to be guilty of what this world is guilty of, having Christmas without Christ. Oh, my friend, there's the light of the saints. Then there's the light of the Savior. The Bible said, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I'm the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have. I see in the Scripture where there are times when this light is rejected. These wise men here did not reject that star. They received the guidance that God provided from that star. And I tell you, thank God, in the Bible, there are men and there are women that still receive the guidance that God gives. But they're still in this world, in Kingsport, Tennessee, men and women that will reject the light that God has given in His Word. Listen to what the Bible said. The Bible said here, in verse number, Isaiah 8:20, to the law and to the testimony. He said, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. Let me ask you a question this morning. How many's got some light in you? Amen. I tell you, thank God, if you have the Savior living in you, you're in Him. He's in you and you're in Him. There's light in your soul. Amen. But there are those that have rejected that light. Oh, my friend, you give a couple of things here. Look at the contrast here. Wise men now and wise men then. There's a group here in the Word of God. There's a group of wise men that were determined to exalt Jesus. Look here in verse number, let's see. I need to find it here. The Bible said here, when they saw the star, they wanted to worship him. The Bible said here in verse 11, and when they come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. There was a group of men, wise men, that were determined. You say, preacher, how do you know? They had come a long way from the east. They had come to Jerusalem. Now they're 6 miles south down in Bethlehem. Amen. And they're not riding on a train. And they're not flying on an airplane. Amen. I'm telling you, they had come a long way. They were determined. Why? Because they wanted to exalt Him, and lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. They wanted to worship Him. But notice this. While there's a group in Kingsport, while there's a group in Bloomingdale that's determined this Christmas season to exalt the Savior, there's another group. He said, preacher, I don't understand. I don't either. But it's a fact. He said, preacher, what are they determined to do? There's a group of wise men that are determined in this passage of Scripture to exalt Jesus. But there's a group of foolish men in this passage of Scripture that are determined to exterminate and do away with the Son of God. I'll tell you something right now. Say, preacher, surely not. I'm going to tell you something right now. Listen, God help us. We want Him out of the courtroom. We want Him out of the school system. Let me tell you this. He's done been kicked out of a lot of quote-unquote churches. I'm going to tell you something right now. You can call it a church if you want to, but if it's not the one He founded, if it's not on the rock, my friend, and the right foundation, it's not even a church. But there's a lot going on in the name of religion and in the name of the Lord that God is not in this morning. Amen. The Bible said here, watch this. Watch these foolish men. Let me show you something here. In verse number 3, Herod the king, he heard these things, he was troubled. And all Jerusalem with him. Well, what's got them so tore up? I'm going to tell you what's got them so tore up. There's one coming that's fixing to tear up their religious system. There's one coming, Brother Gale, when he stands up and speaks, he don't speak mealy-mouthed like they do. He speaks as one having authority. He's got a backbone like a saw log. Amen. He's got something to say. He's got something to stand for. He's got love in his heart for people that are lame. Like Sister Danita sang about, people that are blind, people that have lived their life as a harlot. He's got love in his heart for sinners. I'm telling you, he's different than they are. And he's a threat to their system. You say, preacher, I don't know what you're looking at here. Let me show you these foolish men. They look pretty good on the surface, but you better read your Bible and you better get underneath the surface. Amen. It looks like they're just... this look like these scribes, Herod, the scribes, the priests. Oh, where's he at? Let's find him. But my friend, they don't want to find him so they can exalt him. They want to find him so they can kill him. They don't want to find him so they can worship him. They want to find him so they can war against him. Watch what the Word of God said here. The Bible said, when he had gathered all the chief scribes, the people together, priests, the scribes, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. They say, preacher, why did Herod do this? Let me give you something. Listen to me carefully. He's talking to a bunch of men from the Old Testament now, coming into the New Testament. They knew what the Old Testament said. If you'll understand that right here, they knew where to tell Herod. They're quoting Bible. Do you understand that? They said, Herod, he's going to be down there, born down there in Bethlehem. Let me give you something. This ought to scare the wits out of anybody that's got a Bible that doesn't have Jesus, that can quote a Bible but don't have Jesus, that know what the Bible says but don't know the Savior in the free pardon of sin. They knew the Word of God, but they did not know the God of the Word. They knew the Word of God, and all the time they wanted to destroy the Lord Jesus Christ. Get Him out of the way. Get Him out of the way. I'm going to tell you something right now. I believe around this church, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But I believe there's a bunch of people interested in exalting Him, lifting Him up, not tearing him down, not setting him aside, but making him the centerpiece of all that we do. Amen. Watch this. The Bible said here, they said in Bethlehem, Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet. Look at verse 7. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, he inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, and he said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. Can I just say this to you? You're going to find out a little bit later on here. I believe the wise men, Brother Gale, took them at face value. I believe they took Herod at face value. Said, let's go find the boys, then we'll let the king know. But somewhere in the midst of all that, here come the angel of the Lord and warned them. Say amen right there. I'm going to tell you something right now, folks. Everything on the surface ain't always what it looks like on the surface. I've been in around, amen, the church long enough to know that. Say amen. I'm telling you right now, friend of mine, listen, they had hatred in their hearts while they had worship on their lips. They wanted to kill him. He said, preacher, I thought this was about wise men. It is. It is. But in order to have a wise man, there must be a foolish man standing around somewhere. Say amen. Notice what the Bible said here. There's a group of wise men. They're determined to exalt him. But there's a group of foolish men that are determined to eliminate him. Let me show you something here. The Bible said here. Let me give it to you. There's a place here where I wanted to see where they got really, really mad. Here it is. Look at verse 16. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, he was exceeding wroth. Y'all know what that word means? That means he was mad. I was pastoring in Wise County, first church I ever pastored, and there was a lady there that had a little niece visiting with her that day. And I was just preaching the Word of God. And this little niece looked up at her aunt and said, he mad. And the aunt said, Brother Johnny said, no, honey, he's not mad. He's just preaching the Word of God. About 30 seconds went by and she looked up at her and said, he mad. He really mad. Amen. Now, I'm going to tell you something right now. I'm not mad when I'm preaching. But these fellas right here, Herod and his gang, they're mad. They're really mad. Amen. Because Jesus has done, deceived by the wise men that were supposed to come back and tell them. Amen. That's what they think. But God had shown them the truth. Let me show you something. The Bible said here in verse number 10, look at the wise men. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Now watch this. I'll show you something. Then Herod, look at verse 16, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth. Now watch this. There's a contrast here between the foolish and the wise. The wise are exceeding glad, while the foolish are exceeding mad. The word exceeding is used in both texts. You see it right there? I mean, they're about to blow a gasket, amen. Because they hate the Lord. And I tell you something right now. I'd rather be blowing a gasket on the other side. Glory to God, praising my Lord and worshiping my Lord. That's where I'd rather blow the gasket. Amen. That the likes of him would come down here among the likes of us and give his life for you and for me. What a Savior. What a Savior. There's a group of wise men exceeding glad. But there's a group of foolish men that are exceeding mad. I don't know about you this morning, but I believe with all of my heart that we ought to want to be like the wise men. Amen. You say, preacher, we don't have any star. We don't. We have a Bible. Maybe there's somebody here this morning and you don't read this Bible every day.
Can I say something to you? It would be all right December the 1st, the year 2013, to say, Lord, I want to follow the star. I want to follow the light. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I was coming out of the woods the other day over there where my boy lives. And I was watching a man. I was actually needing a ride. And so this man, my boy, was going to come pick me up at a certain time. And his neighbor came by. And I was watching that man. And while I was watching that man, he backed up. At first he said, I thought you were just waving at me. Well, I was. And then I went like this. Anyway, he backed up. But while I was watching him, brother, my boy's got an electric fence up. It's only about that high off the ground. I was watching that man. I just walking down through there. Now, listen, I'm glad it didn't end up like you all think it ended up. Amen? But just in the nick of time, I happened to glance down. And there was that wire. And, buddy, I was fixing to be tangled up in a mess. Amen? And, you know, the bad part about it was it would have hurt. But he was watching. Now, that would have been really bad to go down while somebody's watching. How many's ever fallen, amen, by accident? First thing you do is look to see if anybody's looking, amen. I was down there at Liberty Baptist in Church Hill, and I had one of the nails on my heel had come out of my shoe. I was walking down this steep place between the church and the fellowship hall, and my feet went whoop. Now, y'all know what the rest of me done. My feet went north and the rest of me went south. And the first thing I looked, I turned around and there sat a guy in a pickup truck looking right at me. That was the bad part about the whole thing. Thy word is a lamp unto my... Tell me. Will we watch where we're going? Will we let God lead the way? Thy word is a lamp. Did you know that God might let us help somebody this Christmas season. Say amen. God might let us show somebody Christ this Christmas season. But not unless we have the Word lighting our path. Amen. I want you to know this morning, I want to be like the wise men. I don't want to reject God's light. I don't want to be, my friend, like these foolish men, have one thing on my lips and another thing in my heart. Amen. I want what's in my heart to come out in my lips. Say amen. Come out in my speech. Come out in my walk. Come out in my actions. Come out in the love of God that He's placed in my heart and in my life. Wise men then and wise men now. You say, preacher, do you believe wise men then have something in common with wise men now? Yes, I do. Preacher, do you believe foolish men then have something in common with foolish men now? Yes, I do. They certainly do. My friend, I know it's December the 1st. Brother Brian mentioned a while ago about January the 1st. Before you know it, it'll be here. Time is flying. Amen. I mean swiftly. My dad told me when I was a teenager, I thought I never would get out of high school. I thought I never would. Dad said, son, don't wish your life away. He said, it's going to start going faster and faster and faster. And I thought, yeah, right. But guess what? He was right. Faster and faster and faster. So let's slow down this Christmas season. Let's walk like wise men. Amen. Let's exalt the King of glory. I'm telling you, what a shame what the world has come to under the name of Christmas. What a shame. We can't control what the foolish men do, but if we're not careful, we'll get trapped in the same trap. If we're not careful, we'll spend time worrying about what we're going to get for who. Say amen. And we'll forget to spend time with who Christmas is really all about. Let's be wise men. Let's be wise ladies. Let's be wise for the Lord. Let's not get caught in this world's trap. it'll drag us down when God is wanting to lift us up. God is wanting us to go through Christmas. I think about this. Listen to me carefully. Brother Brian mentioned mothers. My mom's been in heaven. This will be mom's second Christmas in heaven. But let me tell you something right now. As a pastor, I think about the families here. And I think about the holidays. And I think about the loved ones that are missing. You say, "Preacher, how in the world could we have exceeding great joy knowing that our hearts are hurting the way they are?" I'll tell you how. Just think that because He came, we'll be together again one day after a while. Our separation is temporary. Glory to God, when He puts us back together, it'll be eternal. And all of that privilege was bought and paid for on the old rugged cross. What a Savior we have this morning. Brother Johnny, we want Owen to grow up, don't we, buddy? To be a wise man. I believe he will be. Because he'll watch Daddy be a wise man. He'll watch Daddy worship the Savior. And not the stuff. Amen. Worship the Savior. Let's pray. Father, in heaven this morning, we thank you for the privilege to be here, Bible Way, this Lord's Day. God, I realize this morning that, Lord, these men in the Word of God, they were a great example of wisdom. God, I think about this generation. I think about, God, the wise men that you've allowed to come into my life. Men that exalt the Savior. Men that exalt the Scripture. Men that exhort the saints. God, I appreciate that. God, would you help us, please? Lord, there could be somebody here this morning and they're still in the devil's camp. They've never been born again. They've never been saved by the grace of God. God, they're not going to be exceeding glad this Christmas. They're going to be exceeding sad. God, I pray this morning, there's somebody here unsaved, God, that today be the day they'd come to Jesus. God, I pray for the saints. God, that we wouldn't get caught in that trap. That trap of materialism. That trap, Lord, that where our time is occupied by that that's really not important. God, I pray that you'd help us this December. Lord, not only this month, but especially this month, to make sure that first things are first. Help us, Lord, as a people.